90210ONG with Jenny Garth and Tori Spelling.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, you guys.
Hey, you guys. It's us again. Just us.
Again. Is this like, sorry to do this to you?
No, it's the 90210ONG podcast, everybody. Thanks for listening in.
This is the gen to the T to the sis and E. Whoa. Oh my God. You guys.
Do it again.
You got the gen to the T to the sis and E.
What up?
You are a rapper.
Oh my God. I'm going to be a rapper. Freestyling rapper.
I see a whole new future for you.
Oh, good. Love to reinvent.
We have a whole new episode to talk about this week, which is very exciting. But I feel like we should talk just first for a second about the sad news last week. Maybe you've heard John Reilly passed away. John played Bill Taylor, who was Kelly Taylor's father. I got to work with him a lot. And it's just so sad when we lose great people. And I know he has a wife and five daughters and grandkids, and I just know how, you know, Tor, you and I both know what it's like to lose a dad. Nothing like it.
Nothing anyone says can make you feel any better, but he was a good man. He was nice. He was so nice, and I know you were close to him and worked a lot with him, but he was he was part of our family.
Yeah.
And it's really hard for us to lose anyone in our family.
Yeah, Kelly had a sort of a tumultuous relationship with her dad on screen, and so I remember, because my father was still alive at that time, and I had a really great, amazing relationship with my dad, and so it was hard for me to play a character who had a dad that she didn't really trust or get along with. So I remember that it was hard to play that because he was so nice and just such a kind person. Mm-hmm. And it was really hard to forget that when the cameras were rolling and be kind of angry at him all the time. But he was really fun to work with. And he, besides our show, he had such a huge body of work. I mean, I think he did every Aaron Spelling show there was to
do. Yeah.
He was on a ton of soaps. He started out on As the World Turns, which was the first soap opera I ever watched. And he did what else? Like Passions.
Didn't Luke work with him?
I don't know. I don't know.
Possibly in soaps that they had worked together. Could be wrong.
But besides soaps, he did, I mean, all the great shows. Newhart, Mary Tyler Moore. And yeah, he was on Dallas. He was on The Love Boat. He was on, there's so many I'm forgetting, but he has such a huge body of work. What a talented man, and what a long, beautiful career he had. And a beautiful family, five daughters. They must miss him very much. So our hearts go out to all of them. And just big hugs for everybody that knew and loved him.
He was 84.
Too young.
Isn't it funny? I was about to say, that's a good life, and you're like, too young. But you're right. No, you're right. I mean, technically 84, that's a good long life. Mm-hmm. But it can be longer these days. You're right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like 90's the new 80.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about the show, should we?
Yes. So this is episode 9, The Gentle Art of Listening, and it aired on December 6, 1990. And here's what it's about, you guys. On a teen helpline, untrained volunteer Brenda Walsh becomes the trusted contact for a date rape victim. Meanwhile, Brandon falls for a worldly older woman. A running theme in our show. If it's not one twin, it's the other.
Looking for the older lady or the man.
Yeah.
This episode started out fun, I thought, right out of the gate with the big pep rally in the quad.
Yeah.
I love that because, I didn't go to high school, so I went for like a couple, maybe a year, but you got to go to high school. Did they have like rallies and cheerleaders and stuff like that at your high school?
No, not really. I mean, a little bit. I was in an all-girls school. It was a little bit different. It wasn't done. But I feel like the good grand things I got to do actually on TV more so than in my actual high school.
Yeah.
So I, but these cheerleaders, they were, I'm not going to lie, they were a little, it was no Bring It On.
Well, maybe they were nervous.
They were actually maybe from Marina High School.
How do you know that?
Which is because it's in our notes.
Yeah. Oh, I'm an asshole then.
Well, they're also, asshole. I mean, who knows? I think that cheerleading evolved because by the time I was in high school, it was like Bring It On. That was like the type of squad that I was on.
Yeah, like pyramids.
Bring It On. It's already been brought.
Yeah, we were very competitive in high school. But, you know, we did have all the pep rallies and all that stuff as well.
I love their little outfits so much.
Remember the pyramid we did on Mystery Girls at lunchtime?
Yeah, I said pyramid and that just sent you to a whole nother show.
Yeah, it did. I was imagining doing a cheerleading pyramid with you, and we actually did one on a different
Why
show.
Did we were on lunch on our lunch hour on the Warner Brothers lot. No, CBS Radford. And we were having lunch, and one or two of your kids, I don't remember, but we were like, this is so cool, let's make a pyramid.
But why? Where did it come from? Did we see other people doing it at lunch?
No, we didn't. That would be odd. Making a pyramid? I don't know.
Random, but so us.
We did it. And I think we have a picture somewhere. We'll have to find it.
That's when I was teeny weeny. I think you put me on top.
Oh. Seeing the cheerleaders, though, made me realize that none of your characters were cheerleaders.
Isn't that weird? I feel like Kelly and Donna would have been cheerleaders.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody was into sports. Drama. I was trying to think like why? I mean, Steve Sanders was kind of a jock, but he was always on the
Maybe they didn't want to show that.
Maybe
it must have been a reason.
There must have been a reason, like was too difficult to shoot or I also thought maybe like cuz none of the rest of the core cast would have been in those scenes, so maybe it wasn't something that they felt that the whole group could relate to. I don't know.
I thought you were going to say athletic, but it could have been something. We could have had like pep rallies, like bigger than it was, like Friday Night Lights, but on 90210 at West Beverly. I got to say though, okay, so the pep rally, is that what it was? the cheer was happening, and I'm sorry, but all my eyeballs went to Kelly and Donna walking in.
I wonder why. First of all,
shocking.
It was us. And second of all, their outfits were on another planet.
Another level. You know what? Even though I was showing, it was much more than a crop top. That was like hiked up into like, that was borderline like middle of boob territory. Yeah. Like it was hiked up so far. But I got to say, my eyes didn't go to me first. It went to you. It went to you and your hat. That cap was everything with the gold chains.
There was a couple of really interesting hat choices. My hat, but before that was Brandon's hat. What was he wearing on his head?
Okay. I'm going to go with a cap. And he wore, and I didn't remember it. So when I started watching it, I was like, I don't like
what is that?
Well, it's okay. It's outdoors. It's one scene. And then he proceeded to wear it for many, many scenes. But can I go back to one thing? Because this is a rarity on an Aaron Spelling show. You and I walked in with sunglasses.
Sunglasses.
Mm-hmm. And my dad had a thing for sunglasses.
No sunglasses.
And no sunglasses. Because he's like, you know what? First of all, he was like, you know, we're paying the big bucks for these actors. I want to see their eyes. And he's like, he believed that the eyes were the windows to your soul. That was his thing about actors, that they really told their story and their character and their narrative. So he, on another note, he wanted to see the actor's eyes. He never wanted it to get lost for the viewers. He wanted them to be able to show what they were feeling through their eyes. But we were wearing sunglasses. Bizarro.
I mentioned whenever you wear sunglasses on camera, the cameraman, the DP, and the lighting guys would all freak out because they would see the lights reflecting in your glasses, and then you would see the crew just standing there, waiting around in the reflection. But we were rocking the outfits, rocking the sunglasses. Yeah. And we weren't cheerleaders because we were just too busy shopping, apparently. That's all we did was
apparently shop. You wanted to go to the Beverly Center. I wanted to go to Melrose. That was like a little prelude to hinting at Melrose Place, maybe.
Maybe.
No, but Brenda got annoyed.
Brenda was over. She was like, ugh, I can't shop anymore. How much shopping can you do before you go brain dead or whatever?
A lot.
Well, she didn't have money,
shopping
guys.
Is healing. Shopping is healing.
You think shopping's healing? I think shopping is exhausting.
Yeah, she hates shopping. Shopping. I love shopping. Ugh.
I can't. I'd rather shop online. Is that weird?
Now that we can't really shop,
I do miss it. I'm a Taurus. Like, I like to be in person and touch it and feel it. You're more like pragmatic. Like, this is what I need to get done. I'm going for it. It's easier. Like, done.
Yeah.
We like to shop in person when we could shop in person.
Yeah, for like, 20 minutes and then I'm done. I'm ready to go have lunch.
And then we go have a cocktail. You said lunch, I said cocktail, but they go together.
Yeah, same thing.
Lisa Dean Ryan, she, like, when it opens, she's the cheerleader and Brandon's staring at her. And
yeah,
I,
like,
sorry.
That moment, right?
Moment. And I'm like a big Doogie Howser fan. I'm such a nerd. Like, loved that show so much. And she starred on it.
So she was on Doogie Howser. She played his love interest or something?
Yes. Was she Wanda? Is that right? Did I get the name right?
I think so. It sounds right.
I love Doogie and Wanda. Yeah.
She was great. Yeah. I was watching the episode and thinking, yeah, I've seen her in other things. I couldn't place it exactly, though, but she was great. I liked her whole look.
Interesting name.
So this was the first time that we saw Brenda and Andrea on screen together. Like,
yes.
Working together, like in scenes together.
Mm-hmm. Touchy.
I don't know why, but I got nervous.
I got so nervous too. Like, I was like scared. Like, they don't like each other. What's happening?
We know too much, you guys. We know too much.
I don't know. That when they like did that kick off? Like, the not, you know, they wasn't a love affair between the two of them? Or
are you talking about on camera or off?
Both.
Yeah, I'm not sure where she's going either, but it.
Like, it was palpable. Like, you could feel there was beef between those two. I don't know what it was.
They're good actors, but yeah, I felt it too. Like, if I came into this not knowing anything, I'd be like, ooh. Wow.
But I thought it was just acting. Was it not just acting?
Maybe.
The eyebrows tell me everything right now. Okay.
Maybe.
Ugh, damn it. That means my Botox is wearing off.
So Brenda goes to work. What's it called? The rap line?
Yeah, the rap line, which I thought it was just like a teen help line, but it's Wellness Recovery Action Plan.
Oh, there is a W. Wellness Recovery. I don't know.
Andrea did not want Brenda there. Bottom line. It was almost like she got
territorial. I know, but why did she judge her? Because she was friends with us? Because she was popular?
Yeah, she thought there's no way that she can be like serious and committed to this. She just wants to do it so it looks good on her grades or whatever.
But she's known her for 9 episodes, you guys. How could she judge her? She doesn't even know her. Come on.
Episodes in her world.
Like, let's be serious.
She's
an extension of Brandon. She can be serious.
She has
very
strong opinions, yeah. But that's a good thing. That defined her really nicely as like a character.
You know? She was great. She looks sexy in this episode.
Brenda? Right?
Andrea? She had a little bit of a different vibe on this episode, like a hair back, a little more lipstick gloss, like a little more makeup.
Did not notice this at all.
No. I thought she looked
with you.
I don't think, I definitely think this wasn't on purpose. Like, I don't know what happened, but it definitely, like, I was like, oh, she has a little sexier vibe, just not the like smart nerd kind of vibe. But
maybe
Brenda's
things were good in her life.
Yeah. I mean, or makeup and hair were on point, but like, Brenda's bangs had grown out. Like, her bangs were on point this episode.
She looked great. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of strong hair and wardrobe show ups for Brenda on this episode, I felt like.
Agreed. And Dan Attias, who ended up being one of our longest running directors. He did so many episodes with us. This is his first episode. Sorry, just want to point it out. Like, I loved him.
Yeah, he was great. Great director. Really fun to be with.
Like, yeah, he was.
He was older, but he was like middle aged, I guess. He kind of acted like one of the kids, though.
He was cool. Yeah, we could talk to him and hang out, and then like. He just knew how to speak to actors and like made you feel comfortable, which I think shows in this episode. Everyone looks like they're having a lot of fun.
So the exterior of the Peach Pit is still like that weird, just like storefront on a street. Like it doesn't look right yet. What's going on?
I'm telling you guys, Google Apple Pan. It looks like Apple Pan, but instead they put Peach Pit, and that's in LA.
But it changes at some point. That's not the exterior we use for the rest of the show, because I don't remember this exterior at all. Like the shot of like the outside and the sign looks weird.
It's bizarre. Can we talk about Nat? Joey Tada.
Yeah,
like getting some action in the back room.
That was so random.
Oh.
Let's talk about Nat and that whole storyline with him and Brandon right after this break.
I mean, who gets a massage in the back of the restaurant? Was it weird to anyone else?
It was so weird. All of it was. The whole storyline was very weird. Like
it was so weird. It's so weird. It feels like something we would randomly drop into something we created. Like it was very not 90210. It was so out of place.
Ooh, yeah. Like
it was so,
all those noises.
Imagine like people are eating, they're like, I'll have what he's having.
And then what was that? Nina, the character.
Nina
was giving him a workover back there.
She went and wait, Nina went on to be talked about or seen in multiple episodes. Is that correct or no?
No. I didn't know that.
I do not know this.
But it was interesting at the beginning of this episode. You think like it's totally going in one direction with her and Brandon.
Right.
And then at the end, you're
nothing.
Nothing. He meets her husband. Either way, though, Brandon is a 16-year-old high school boy, and she is an adult in her mid-20s. And even if she wanted him to be a guinea pig or whatever, some sort of student to her. Don't you find
sex
it
slave?
Don't you find it inappropriate that he's under 18?
Did she even ask him at any point, like, how old are you?
I guess not.
Before you come back to my apartment? Or... I don't know. She was really kind of intense, like super sexual and like, I don't know. I just was uncomfortable watching it.
But he liked it. He was into it.
He loved it. Did you see his little face? Every time she would talk, he was just like enwrapped in every word she would say.
Yeah.
Every gesture of her hands. And he looked like a 12-year-old boy when he was listening to her. He was like,
He did. He was really good in this episode.
So cute.
And Cindy Walsh called him a heartbreaker.
Yeah,
that's our boy.
Talks to his mom about everything. He was talking about that one girl that was staring at him at school.
Oh my God.
He's like, she's like a freshman. I don't know her.
I don't know. How do you think he, started up that conversation with mom in the kitchen over his PB&J? That she made him.
The one about seeing the girl at school that kept staring at him?
Yeah.
I don't know. It made it seem like he just kind of came home and always told his mom everything. But then in the middle of the episode, he's now lying to the mom because he was going to go spend the night at Nina's house or whatever. He was thinking he was going to.
They'll tell you everything.
Can happen.
Mm-hmm. They'll tell you everything until they don't want to tell you anything. Sorry to break
sage advice, Sisney. Take that, put like literally write that down, because you're going to be dealing with that in like 15 years.
No, I'm not ready for that.
Oh, I'm not ready for that, but I need to listen to it soon.
So your kids, Jenny, would tell you everything, and then at one point you turned into like not the cool mom. And
no, I mean, I have to,
it's just pick and choose.
Pick and choose.
I have to pull it out of them. Each in different ways, you know, because they're both, all my girls are all really into being like independent and mm-hmm. proving to me that they can handle all the things, you know? So sometimes when stuff just gets too weighty, I think it just bubbles out and they can't help it. And they need that talk time, you know? But when it does happen with my girls, I try to just be chill and, you know, not like act too excited because inside I'm like, oh my God, they're talking to me. They're opening up. I got to give them the right advice. What do I say? But I try to just hold it all together. Do you chop
vegetables like Cindy Walsh and be like, oh,
interesting.
Yeah, chop.
No, but I love those heart-to-heart talks with my kids for sure.
Oh my God. I was present to one of these, you guys. I won't get into the story, but when we were in Vancouver, it was with Lola and it was like, oh. She tells her everything and it was just so beautiful to see like the friendship. And I know everyone says you're not supposed to be friends with your kid and you strike that great balance, but she wanted to tell you stuff and she was just so honest about it eventually. Just like, you know, it's like, oh.
I know. They want to talk, but it's scary. It's scary to talk to your parents, I think, sometimes.
Oh, I didn't tell my parents anything growing up.
I never had that relationship.
No, me either. I didn't do that either. And I think that it's so important. That's why it's so important to me now as a mom to like be somebody that you can talk to, even if it's stuff that we're not going to agree on, even if it's stuff probably going to get you in trouble.
I'm the same way. And I think you end up in situations like a Bonnie in this episode when you don't have that open communication with your parents. Because you start feeling insecure about yourself and you think the only way to feel wanted and loved is to just give your body up or have sex or hook up. Mm-hmm. I mean, in her case, it was not that. But I mean, that's kind of you go in that direction, I feel.
Mm. Jen, how did you change it? Like, how did you break the pattern? Like, how did you consciously say, like, okay, this is going to be different when I raise my girls?
I think I talked to them more, like I said, I say to them, I didn't talk to my mom as much as I wished I had. I didn't feel comfortable doing that. And I wished I had now. And I guess that they heard that, you know, in some capacity. But then again, there are times when they don't tell me everything but I do because they have each other. Like there's three girls, like because they have each other, I rely heavily on that sister. Say whenever I feel them not wanting to talk to me about stuff, I'll encourage them to talk to each other, or I'll go to the other one and say, hey, you know, I can tell something's going on with number two. Maybe you could go talk to her.
I love how they talk to Dave. Like there's so many situations you see where it didn't go right. Like Dave's a great stepdad and I love I love their relationship with him. Like it's really great and strong and like everything you hope happens. If it doesn't, you know, it's not ideal for any situation, you know, for divorce and remarrying, like for the kids, but like it went in the best possible way with him because he's just so good with them.
They relate to him because he's closer in age to
younger.
he feels like a bud. My husband.
Is he?
Yeah, he's a little bit younger. And so they feel like they can talk
to
him.
But she's young in spirit. It works out. Like, I couldn't imagine you now with, like, anyone your age or older. Like, it just works. You
really? I saw a guy on the golf course, like, last week. He was wearing head-to-toe blue, powder blue, baby blue. He had, like, long white hair coming out from under his little golfing hat. And I immediately fell in love with him.
Okay, and well, I was with Dave. Daddy issues. We'll talk about Dave.
I was like, oh my God, I fell in love with that guy right there.
In a cute way. Like you're like, oh, I just want to squeeze him. Not like a romantic. No. Oh, okay.
I don't know. I think I'm not sure if I could cross the line. I mean, not now because obviously, you know, but I love the older men's too. I'm a little bit like Brenda.
So going back to this.
Yes, go ahead. Back to the show. About Nina's weird sexuality and
Let's do that.
And Brandon, but it alluded to the fact that he got a foot massage back there later on.
Mm-hmm.
Ew.
What kind of foot massage?
Ew.
Sorry.
You guys, oh my God, my head just went somewhere completely different.
Where?
There were feet involved, but it was not a normal massage. Oh, nope.
what is happening right now in your brain?
I don't want to know.
She loves it. I'm a secret sicko.
Well, we were exposed to a lot of sexualness.
That's putting it cutely. That was good.
In this episode or real life?
Just in, you know, in real life. In general. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Being on a set
just
like
being,
that.
Yeah, teenage girls like on a set with like teenage and 20-something-year-old boys. Like it just was a different time, you know? And that's...
You learned a lot.
You feel like you grew up fast.
No.
No,
not so much that way.
No, but we just knew we were exposed to a lot. We knew a lot. There were a lot of stories that we heard about things.
Yeah, a lot. We heard a lot from the boys. Oh my God, our poor little ears. Mm. We would hear it all. Like them talking, like everything that happened, like in their personal life. And we'd be like,
all kinds
but we wanted
of, like,
to be cool.
No, but like, be cool. Sometimes we were like, well, I wanted to listen in. I wanted to hear what they were saying.
Yeah, me too.
I remember specifically, I can remember stories from Ian.
Oh, my God.
Some serious, like, how to, let's just say. He could have had his own YouTube channel.
Oh, my gosh.
Wait, I didn't get that memo. Wait. Should I ask him for tips? Because I don't remember that day.
Yeah.
So it's safe to say nobody was a virgin when this show started.
Oh, my God. Remember they all used to, like, think it was they went through that period where they were, like, it wasn't real, but they would be, like, the things online, like, I don't even know. Sorry. Help me out here, you guys. Like, what is a dirty Sanchez? It was all those, like, sexual things with names that meant, like, you were doing this during sex and different, like, names for stuff that we, like, were just, like, what? Our little virgin ears. We were like, oh my God. But we wanted to be cool. And we're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know what that is.
Had no idea what they were talking about.
Like freaking out inside our brains or gagging, but like acting super cool. But it did. It put like, it's sexual. Like, what's the word? Like, is sexualization? No. Like, is sexualized? Nope. What's the word?
I'm not sure.
Like, we... Seeing them, I mean, imagine teenage boys, 20-something-year-old boys that, like, have every girl in America wanting them across the world. And, like, they're just like, woo, cool. And they're talking about stuff freely in front of us because we're, like, they're, like, sisters and, like, buddies.
Yeah.
And we're just like, oh, my gosh. But in our brains, we're teenage girls that were like, oh, we can't compute. It's too much to handle. Wait. Is this what a man wants in a girl? Is this what we're supposed to be like? We're supposed to like be sexy and show our bodies and our worth? Like it happened, you know?
Yeah. That it was an interesting road to navigate. Trying to figure out what was real and what was just like created.
We were good girls though. Like thank goodness. It could have gone horribly wrong.
Yeah, I feel like we were all really good girls. We all kind of always had a boyfriend. Like
everybody on the show, had, like, all
a
the girls,
significant other. Mm-hmm.
Always. Oh, I kind of love that. We were all romantics. Like we wanted the fairy tale. All four girls.
Did your schools have like that rap line thing, like the hotline for to call in if you had problems? I don't remember having that in my school.
If they did, I didn't know about it.
Is that something that still goes on? I hope so. I hope that's available. Like when my girls get to a certain point or boys, like, is that something if they needed to talk to someone that wasn't a parent and didn't know who to call? Is that available now? There must be.
It's called the World Wide Web.
Yeah.
Oof, exactly.
And I feel like there's some legal battles that they would have to face.
Google is like the worst.
Wrong advice.
And like Siri and Alexa, like they're just not helpful and they're not on our side.
But I thought it was cool, like I thought it was dicey, like how someone would call into that a hotline and expect it to be anonymous because it was like an inner school thing. So the people working the hotline were students and the people calling in were students. So that's how Brenda put all the things together, because she's a good little detective and figured out who it was.
I mean, that was kind of victorious at the end of the episode when it all kind of came together like that. I was like, yeah, get him.
Yeah, those guys are so creepy in the parking lot.
So gross.
I wanted to beat them up. Speaking about beating somebody up, that they were so gross.
So we are getting confirmation that RAIN.org is the nation's largest anti-sexual violence organization and does exist to this day.
Oh, that's good to say. Yeah.
And you know, after episodes like this, I don't think we saw it because it was on streaming service now, but when it did air on TV, there would be like a message after the episode saying something about where you could call, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. There was either like
they always did.
A words, like a message, or we would do like PSAs,
public service announcements
about like, yeah, really trying to help people, trying to give people, because there was no internet then. There was no way to Google something or find out how to help yourself like that. So this was like the show's way of probably trying to help people, because these storylines were about real things. I mean, this stuff was really happening. This stuff is really happening. So it was really cool to do that. I didn't see any kind of, was there like a PSA at the end of this episode or like a?
I can't remember.
There must have been. There must have been something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Again, like we're not mad about it. Like, we're grateful for everything. But like, looking back, it's like 90210 never, like, it addressed some really important topics, like weekly, tackled stuff that no one was talking about. Mm-hmm. And yet people weren't like, the fans were great and loved it. And they loved going through the experiences with us. But it's just odd that it never got the acclaim, or no one wrote about that. Like, wow, here's a show that's really topically like in tune with teens.
Mm-hmm.
And still to this day doesn't get that accolades.
Hmm. Yeah, it's weird. They were too like blinded by all the cute boys.
The Aaron Spelling of it all? Is that what it is?
Glossy.
It might have been. Yeah. It's sad.
But in a way, that's good. I mean, it appealed to so many different people, like what they wanted out of the show, you know. So the kids watched it because they could relate to it, and also because it looked like they'd never seen Beverly Hills. They had never seen what it was like at the beach in California. They had never seen all the things that the show had. And then it was also these great topics that they were giving a voice to, and then the parents would watch it with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And that was such a great sort of door opening for parents and their kids to talk about stuff. I feel like I was watching the other day with Fiona. I was watching Cobra Kai because, you know, it's Ralph Macchio.
I want to see that.
It's so good. You guys got to watch it. I'm in love with Johnny, but oh, I ran into Johnny at Casa Vega once. I have a picture to prove it. Yep.
You are a filthy liar. You have a picture?
It's true. I have a picture. I'd have to find it because I saw him and I was like, oh my God, that's Johnny.
And you went up and asked for a picture?
Me. I went over to him.
I can't picture her ever doing this.
Oh,
but I was so excited. And he was sitting alone, so I didn't feel like I was interrupting anything, and because it was like waiting for someone. And I just was, I said, oh, I'm just such a fan. Hi. My friends don't believe me. Would you take a picture with me? And he did. And we had a great little like exchange. Great moment. I feel like maybe there was a little heartfelt.
What?
Moment there. He was very kind.
Well, he's been with his wife for 33 years.
Not like sexual.
There can still be like connections without anything. Wait, he clearly knew who you were.
Yeah, but
did he let on?
I don't remember. Yeah, I mean, he didn't like pretend that he didn't know, but we just kind of had like a little conversation. It was nice. And then I felt uncomfortable and we left.
That's sweet.
But I do have a picture of it. Anyway, what was I talking about? Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Fiona and I are watching Cobra Kai. And it's weird when you sit with your kid and you watch something and there's words on it, like bad words on it, or they're talking about subjects that I'm pretty conservative when it comes to that kind of stuff with my kids. So they were saying, they were using the P word a lot. Like, you know, guy talk. Like, don't be a P. I'm not even going to say it.
Don't be a penis?
That seems like a weird statement.
No, the other P word.
Like a kitty cat?
Meow.
Yeah.
Oh, meow.
All right. And they use it every 5 minutes in that show. And I just, after a few times, I said, this is weird. They keep saying the pussy. I don't know. How's that make you feel?
How does it make you feel? No.
What do you say?
How does that make you feel?
And she was like, well, I don't really, this is the best part. She was like, I don't really get it because they say that like it's a negative. They say that word like it's a demeaning or it makes you feel weak.
Kids are way smarter than us.
And they use, you got to get some balls to show like the expression of a strength.
Wow. Yeah. I have never
And heard she a said, thing I just don't, you. She goes, it's the opposite. Like, I learned something.
I just learned something. Oh my God. Wait, who brought this up? Lola?
Fiona. Fiona? She's 14. Is this little to show you like
Fiona?
The younger generation and the things that they know now and the way they translate that into in a different way than I did when I was their age. When I heard bad words, I was like, but now they think it through and they consider it and try it on, and it's really interesting.
Wow.
But it was interesting how Steve in this episode, well, both Steve and Dylan they knew so much about women.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's like a pro.
Yeah, but that's how it kind of was, like in real life. Like, they knew everything about ladies and all the things.
Why? So, because they thought they knew it, or they said it with such confidence that we believed they knew
it. Oh, for sure. Yeah. Why wouldn't we believe them? They acted like they knew everything. So
yeah, we didn't know.
I believed them.
Me too. You had to say one of the guys was like, who was the most, who was like the player out of all of them?
Oh, player?
Like, who went out with more girls?
Jason didn't talk about it.
Oh, that's interesting.
Do you feel like we would hear combos, but it was definitely like I didn't feel like I had, from my perspective, that I didn't. I mean, we had to overhear these things. I didn't feel like I heard that a lot. I would hear combos. I don't know if he dated a lot, but we would hear him talking.
I remember hearing them talking and like trying to walk in and be a part of the conversation or trying to like overhear what they were talking about. But I could never really, because the minute they saw me like zeroing in, they kind of hushed up.
Sometimes. There were a lot of high fives, right? A lot of high fives. There was a lot of like, but you know, it's like this weird, creepy, like boy laugh.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of bro words used. Like they just turned into like,
dudes.
Boys. Dudes. Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty equal, aside from Jason not speaking about it.
I wouldn't say any of them were like players. Like, I wouldn't say any of them were like grody, like womanizing. Like, they liked their girls, but a lot of them had girlfriends a lot of the run too. Wives, girlfriends, whatever.
Sis, we're just going to skip over the fact she just said grody or what's happening here.
Did I say grody again? Mean,
we're just gonna let it go. It's happening again. No, I agree with that. They could have had anyone, and I feel like they were all really respectful and always had girlfriends. I mean, not Brian when he was young, because you know he was saving his heart for me. But other than that, I'm just kidding. I'm just messing around. It's just a runner. Ian had a girlfriend for the longest time. Remember Sherry, his high school sweetheart?
But can you imagine being his high school girlfriend and then he gets on this show and turns into this heartthrob? Obviously, it didn't last between them.
And it didn't work. But it's kind of like, Jason and Robin Lively, like same thing. Like it's really hard to be the love of someone's life and then they get mega fame and it's overwhelming as a young man. Like I can't even imagine.
We all had our fair share of suitors, though. I mean, we were all.
You're frowning. For yourself, sister. You had a lot of suitors?
Okay. I thought you were mad that I said the word suitors. Like
very
a grandma.
Bridgerton of you.
Thank you.
No, I liked it. I liked it a lot.
I had suitors.
Oh, I'm going to watch that next.
Oh, it's so good. You guys have to watch Bridgerton if you haven't. Such a guilty pleasure.
If you watch Riviera. You might not like it. Like south of France, all like very like beautiful outfits. It's like a modern day dynasty, but in the south of France, kind of.
Oh, I like the south of France, so sign me up. But yeah, I think you had a few boyfriends. You had your fair shares.
I was always with a boy, but definitely like looking back, no regrets. But looking back, like we would go out and there were like boys that would like want to like call us or date us. And we were always in relationships. So we said no. But like looking back, there were some like cute boy actors that I'm like, whoa, like that that could have been me.
So true. I remember there was one boy, one actor that you was, I think he was your love interest. And I won't remember until I see the episode. But was he a cowboy? In real life, he was a cowboy.
I dated him. Like I did like date, but just like date, not like boyfriend. A lot of it's the only place we met boys. Like you were always in like hardcore relationships, but I had pockets.
Yeah, I guess I was living.
Are you talking about Greg Vaughn?
Yes.
I think.
I'd have to see a picture, but I think that was him. And I was
the firefighter trailer.
I don't remember. But it was he a cowboy was,
like,
in real
Texas.
Life? Yeah.
He was like from Texas. Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
So
I was,
hot.
I remember just staring at him in the makeup trailer, going, that's cute.
Well, we have some emails to get to, ladies. So we should take a break and come back. It's just two, but one is very long.
Okay.
So we'll see how much is in that one.
Sis, read us the email.
We have two emails, actually. But before we get to that, we have to talk about something that we have not addressed from this episode. And it was very short-lived. It was just, if you could, you almost maybe even missed it. But there is a small storyline for Donna. And it's about her getting a nose job. But in real life, you had already truly had one already, right? Or, I mean, that's kind of like the irony behind all this.
I did. So I feel like the Kelly character, when we come back in, like she's had a nose job over summer. And then like now it's Donna wants a nose job, but her mom won't let her. But I had a nose job and my mom was fully into it. Like, I don't know where this storyline came from. Like, definitely like the only episode out of 10 seasons that Donna Martin was not in was episode 2. And that was because I was out getting a nose job. Maybe and we have touched like on that.
Your dad's way of getting it into the episode that like you never really
like
had
a callback or like, yeah, like, oh, maybe if I put this in, no one will ever say she's had a nose job. I don't get it. No, I'm not sure.
But I love the how it turned out. Like instead of getting you a nose job, they just bought you a new car.
Yeah.
Problems all got well. I wish I'd gone that way in real life.
You'd rather have gotten a new car than a new nose.
No, it's a lie. I was making a joke. I got both. But I wish the nose hadn't happened. You know I wish that. Like, because I feel like I was a 16-year-old girl. Like, I wanted something. But, like, you know, I hadn't grown into my, like, face yet. I just wonder if 5 years from then, if I had had that decision to make over, if I had chosen that, maybe I would have been like, no, I feel better. Like, I like my nose. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's definitely advisable if you're under 20 and you're thinking about getting some sort of cosmetic surgery. I would advise waiting. Give it a few years. Like, see how you feel about it in a few years. Because, yeah, like you're saying, you might feel totally different about it.
That's like me and my boob job. Like, I was all about the boob job in the 90s. And now looking back, I'm like, oh, that was such a mistake. Because now they don't wear clothes well.
The boobs?
No. Like, yeah.
But I think that would be boob job or not, truly.
That's what do you mean?
Life. You like, mean even life. If you didn't get a a boob job. Like, my boobs don't look the same way that they did back in the day.
Back in the day.
I just feel like the outfits I wore, even in the 90s, even in the early 2000s, they just would have looked a little bit better without those big boobs. That's all.
Those big jugs in them.
Yeah, what episode? When did you get him? What season?
Oh my gosh, I don't know. I'll know when we see it because I was wearing a baby doll dress with spaghetti straps, a white t-shirt underneath. I had short hair as Donna Martin with a little bit of a flip. Mm-hmm. And I remember on set, we were filming some, it was college. We were like first year of college. So we were doing something. And I feel like someone asked me, like, they noticed, and I was like standing like this, like hunching over, like hoping no one noticed. It was after a trip to Maui. I was with Shannon and my bad boyfriend at the time, and her, she got engaged on the trip, her, one of her fiancés, and we discussed boobs, and I was thinking about getting them, and she was really encouraging and talked me through it, and I was like, oh, that sounds great, and like, yeah, I came back and was like, found a doctor and said, sign me up.
There you have it. Okay, let's get to some of these emails. Yeah, Ilana wrote a very lengthy email, so bear with me. She said, one thing that really upsets Dylan slash Kelly and Luke and Jenny fans is when Jenny says that Kelly stole Brenda's boyfriend and that she is team Brenda now. Kelly never stole Dylan. This is a lengthy one. Dylan and Kelly discovered feelings for each other during summer, and he was really persistent, but Kelly pushed him back to Brenda. It was innocent, but so passionate that they could not forget their summer together. Brenda broke up with Dylan, and he went to Kelly. He told her that he chose her, and he always wanted her. They were soulmates. I hope that when you get to that season 3, Jenny will see that and realize that Kelly was a decent person. There is so much hatred for Kelly from Brenda's fans. We Kelly and Dylan fans accounts always defend her. She was a kind, caring, mature, and selfless person.
Why, thank you. That was really nice. That's nice.
Well
to hear.
Said.
They think so much more of me than I thought of me.
I mean, first of all, you can't steal someone's man. It's not like you physically go in and you run
Pick
off
them
with
and,
them.
Yeah.
They they willingly go.
It
so
takes two.
I always have an issue when women are like, you stole my man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I guess she's right. I mean, I don't disagree. Kelly was a decent person and she did have like a lot of really important life lessons along the way, as we all do. And I did say I'm pro Brenda as a viewer now watching the show back, but only because I was only Kelly when we were doing it. So now just being able to see all the things Brenda went through and kind of feel it on a different way, I have more of a, you know, likability there for her. But I mean, I guess I was a little bit of an overstatement to say I'm team Brenda. I think that's, you know, I could never be fully team Brenda, but I appreciate the concern with that.
There you have it. And apparently we get a lot of emails about that specific topic in general. So a lot of people.
Well, I look forward to getting into that stuff. And is it season 3? And
that's
seeing how
said.
It went down, because I don't remember the specifics of it all. It was so heated and passionate. I don't remember.
I think that when you mentioned it, I remember at the beginning of this podcast, you said that you Kelly stole Brenda's boyfriend, kind of like that. But
I think
in your head, you kind of like, you like, in theory, like, okay, yeah, I guess. But when you really dig deep into like the whole story, it wasn't that.
Yeah,
but you were best friends,
just
so there's some sort of backstabbing.
Yeah, I felt I guess I said it because I maybe listened too much to the Brenda fans, and I felt bad. So
there's two sides. As a female, like, you wish, like, you don't want your friend to ever hook up with your boyfriend or even ex boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
There's just that sacred ground. But the other side is, he pursued her. He wanted her. He was in love with Kelly, like, ultimately. So and she couldn't, like, those are her feelings. Like, it's a touchy, that's a hard one. Like, what's meant to be is meant to be, but at what price, you know? I feel like Dylan had two soulmates. Like, it was always Brenda and Kelly in just very different ways. Like, but they were still part of his journey. Like, right? You know what I mean? In both ways. Like, I love Dylan and Brenda, but ultimately I wanted Dylan and Kelly, but it's hard to give one up.
But then he married someone else. So go figure.
Oh, that was a whole different ball game. We can't even
get there. We're going to
upset. Spoiler alert.
We're going to upset the fans that are watching for the first time. Okay. This is from Kristen. She said, if you were holding a dinner party, what 10 characters from the entire show would you invite over and what would they serve?
10? That's a lot of people. I guess
that's kind of an amazing question, though. That's a phenomenal question.
So obviously you two would be there.
Kelly and Donna would be there. Dylan would be there.
Okay.
Nat would be there because we would want him to bring the peach pie.
Okay.
And cater the whole thing.
And Carol, Cindy Walsh would have to be there because she would do all the cooking, pretty much.
All right. You're at five.
Okay. Five. Brenda.
You wouldn't want the, yeah.
Absolutely. Brenda would be there because that would make for some good conversation.
All of our main brothers and sisters, right? Brandon, Steve, Andrea. David, Steve. Andrea.
Oh, there. I mean, so that was easy.
Wait.
Oh, so basically it's the eight of you plus Nat and Cindy Walsh.
Jim would feel upset. I'm going to have to up it to 11 and let Jim Walsh come because now I feel weird.
Yeah, we couldn't leave somebody out. But what would you want? What do you think like people would bring to eat besides Carol and Joey? What would Donna bring? You would bring a penis-shaped cheese platter.
That was Tori, and she brought it to your Christmas party.
Is that what happened?
Oh, it's a fact.
She made a platter of cheese with sausage.
Yeah.
And there was cheese balls and then some sausage. And I'll just let your imagination do
it. It was charcuterie reimagined.
All right.
And it was, we were doing like, Jen was having like a fun adult only, you guys, white elephant party for the holidays. So I love to make laugh.
What's your budget on white elephant gifts?
Like $25? Yours went. Remember someone brought someone's antique, like a family heirloom, and the other and the wife or the my God, that was a debauchery.
They brought like a bar, like a little like a vintage bar where it had like a cabinet and it opened up with these beautiful crystal glasses in it. And it
But what was
like
the max?
Family heirloom.
I don't even remember was there a max or was it just kind of a free for all?
I'm just always curious. We famous people, I feel like your guys' white elephants would be like extravagant gifts.
I did bring my gift, but unknowing that she would get it, but it was just to make her again laugh. I brought her lobsters packed, no, crab legs. Crab legs packed on ice with butter and lemon. Just because she loves a good crab leg. We search for it. It's hard to find.
Wait, that's really funny.
Can we go back to the penis and balls platter? Like, rolled cheddar balls and then put little almonds on them because balls have hair.
Oh, my God.
Cut up a sausage, but decorated it. It was very, like, boom, chicka, boom, boom, like 70s, like, with the, like, remember in the 70s or 60s when they would serve, like, things with, like, lettuce and tomatoes and peppers and, like, all decorated. Like, you would serve things back then. But I can't believe you – here's the thing that throws me off. She had the audacity to be like, you didn't make that. You bought that somewhere. I'm like, where do you buy a penis and ball charcuterie platter? Like, at Gelson's, at Costco? Help me out here.
Oh, my God. This is too much. Let's talk about fashion, you guys.
Yes. Let's do it.
Fashion good segue. In this episode. Brenda has – like I said, Brenda has some good outfits. Did you guys
like that olive green shirt she was wearing with the black overalls?
With the matching hair braid scrunchie situation? She looked great.
A hair wrap or something?
Yeah, she looked profession this episode. Very put together. You know what I appreciated, though, was the hats. Mm. And I appreciated Steve Sanders always bringing the shirt.
Blouses. Button up. Blouses. Yeah. They were blouses. What would a male blouse be?
What he would wear in every episode.
A dress shirt. Yeah.
No. It's not. It's like it's its own thing. It's blousy. They're all blousy.
Yeah.
And back to Donna's crop top. Like, that would never fly at the high school that I went to. Like, you would get sent home.
Yes.
Or anyone's high school. Showed, not like, allowed.
A little bit of your midriff.
And my kids go to a pretty liberal school. I think they can do it, but I wouldn't let them wear that.
This one was different. She wore a lot of crop tops, but this one, like, went up into a V, like, kind of up into your, like... It was way up into your rib cage.
And every time you talked, like, you could see your abs. Like, you could see your little muscles in your tummy. It was so amazing.
Oh, God. It was amazing. Were there any best lines from the episode 90210 You Didn't that stood out to you?
90210 No, You Didn't. For me, yeah. One in that same scene when you were wearing the tummy shower shirt, Donna says about Kelly, that's not all she lost in the seventh grade.
I forgot about that.
I think you were referring to my virginity.
Oh,
that's young.
That's seventh grade?
That is so young.
That's like 12 or 13.
That's I know. Crazy.
That's why it stuck out to me.
It's like, dang. Sometimes they insert, no pun intended, with this topic, like lines for Kelly, like there's like throwaways that you're just like, whoa, because I don't even think of her that way. Like I really don't. But like at first they were just like navigating who she is as a character. And there were all these little, for a lack of better words, like very like slutty innuendos.
Yeah, I think they were just like trying to establish that she didn't have parents that were watching over her. Like she didn't have any parentals on duty. I had another favorite line. My other favorite line was when Andrea said to Brenda, ours is not to reason why. Ours is to listen and try not to cry. Just like, wow.
So poetic.
She sounds like a poet and didn't even know it.
You just rapped.
Oh. I know.
Sis, you're next.
I liked Dylan's response to
when he was
trying to get... Oh, rap. Oh, I'm terrible at rapping. Not good.
No, don't do it. It's okay.
What was your line? He said, want some coffee. That was his response to what he would say to a woman after they wake up the next morning. Want some coffee?
In his Dylan voice. Chivalry is not dead. He was like wanting to like make her breakfast, give her coffee. I don't know. No.
I mean, what would you prefer he have said the morning after, like, sis?
They're in high school.
Like if it was me waking up next to Dylan McKay.
What would you have wanted him to say?
Oh, my goodness. So many fantasies.
Would you like me to make you some Eggs Benedict? No, I don't know. I love Eggs Benedict. I don't know. Not coffee. Would you like me? I don't know. What would you want?
Just don't say anything and you go at it again.
Pretty much, but I didn't think I could say that.
Wow, bringing it.
Yeah, you're right. No one wants coffee from Dylan McKay. They want other things. Let's be honest.
You have no idea what I would make my Dylan McKay Barbie doll do with the other Barbies.
I didn't know where you're going with that. Ooh, you have no idea what I would make my Dylan McKay Barbie doll do. That's where I thought you were going, and then I thought it was stopping, and I was, that was super enough. Scared.
Oh, no.
Wait, I don't know if we want to know.
No, don't know. Just use your imagination.
Like make out? They would all just like...
I'm telling you, out. I learned a lot from watching 90210. So like,
Make your 90210 Barbie doll 69?
Pretty much. I think so.
Whoa.
All right. We have homework, ladies. Episode 10 is next week.
Ooh, 10. I feel so like we've done something big.
Double digits.
Yeah. Woohoo! Episode 10. Everybody watch it.
It's going to be a good one. I remember that title. I can't wait to watch it.
Isn't it romantic?
Yes.
Mm.
That sounds like it's
the birds and the bees one. It's the It's a big one for me.
Oh, okay.
Am I wrong? I might be wrong.
Well, no.
Isn't it that one? No.
We'll have to watch it and see. We'll have to watch it.
Okay, good. I'm excited.
All right, everybody. Thanks for hanging out with us. Hope you learned some things. Maybe.
It's very educational.
Heard some things you didn't want to hear.
Let me know if you want that DIY recipe for the penis and balls charcuterie platter. It's meat and cheese all the time. Heavy on the meat. I'm here all week, guys. Thanks.